Hey guys, welcome back to Sports Fanatics here on 1460 KXNO. I'm a little bit dreary today. I picked up my annual Phil Steele college football preview yesterday, and I'm not kidding. I was sitting in my daughter's nursery until like 1:30 in the morning reading this thing, and I'm really excited to have Phil Steele here on the Grip Tight Foundation Repair Hotline. The 21st edition, Mr. Steele, and you outdid yourself, my friend. Great work as always, and thanks for joining us on the program.
Hey, a real pleasure being on, Chris. And yeah, that's a lot of reading in there. You'll probably finish reading that the magazine sometime in late August, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, you're not kidding around. It's just what I find about your magazines. What's interesting about them is the amount of double and triple taking I have to do with specific statistics that you come up with in there. For instance, there was one about Iowa State and the 42 missed starts that the Cyclones had last year. A number like that, if you follow Iowa State last year, you knew, they're a lot of guys hurt, a lot of guys out due to discipline reasons and whatnot, but you actually are able to come up with the data. Let's just start right there, Phil. That was the biggest stat that I was researching Iowa and Iowa State, obviously, getting ready for today's interview. But, man, that's a really big number for Paul Rhodes' program.
Yeah, it is. And it generally means very good things are on the agenda for the future for the team. If you have a season where you miss a lot of starts due to injury and or suspensions, generally you have a weaker record. A lot of the backups get playing time. And then the next year, those backups now have some good experience, and the starters who missed all that time generally are returning. So it gives you even more experience than you would expect based on the returning starter numbers. And it's one that we started researching, I think it was about 6-7 years ago, we started doing it in depth on philsteele.com each week. We look at the start charts. We look at every single start. We see if it's a start based on, you know, hey, we just want to start this guy over him, or if a guy actually missed a start due to injury or suspension. And I find it a very valuable stat.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it is encouraging for Iowa State, but I kind of have the question. When you see an injury stat like that, based off of your research, because usually the teams with the numbers like that, I think that there's actually an outlier in your magazine. They have to have 9 wins or fewer. Is it an anomaly, or could it be that these teams just don't have as much talent? They're smaller than their competition. They continue to get hurt because of that. Do you have any data or an opinion on that?
You know, it does vary. I'll go back to a couple of teams I followed where they just played on poor surfaces, rock hard surfaces, old artificial turf, and they suffered a lot of injuries. And then once they switched over to the better home surfaces, all of a sudden the injuries got chopped way down, and the things went up. But nowadays, almost everybody's playing on decent field surfaces. So that's probably was the biggest factor, 5-6 years ago. But now it's not as much of a factor.
Phil Steele here on the Grip Tight Foundation Repair Hotline. You've had a bit of a love-hate relationship with your Iowa State predictions, Phil, and Paul Rhodes. He, according to your magazine here, he topped your expectations in 4 out of his first 5 years at Iowa State. But you've really been good on predicting Iowa State the last couple of years, as they've obviously had a rough patch there. What are you expecting this year? I know you picked them 9th, but what do you see from this Iowa State team?
I see a much improved team this year, and as I mentioned, Coach Rhodes in his first 5 years, just getting this team to 3 bowl games like he did, that's 3 more than I expected in those seasons. So he's one of those guys that outperforms my expectations. And when I look at this year's squad, I see improved quarterback play. I mean, last year's quarterbacks, Sambi Richardson, had a decent enough year, but not a great year. And I think you'll see improved QB play, and a lot of that relies on the receivers. And DeVario Montgomery, Alan Lazard, Quentin Bundridge, That's one of the better receiving cores out there. In fact, I rate them among the top receivers in the country. They make my list in the front of the magazine. The offensive line should be in better shape this year. So overall, you have to expect that Iowa State's going to put up more than the 23.2 points per game they had last year. Now, defensively, they bring in a guy in Demond Tucker, who is 287 pounds, and he's a guy maybe somewhat's been missing from the interior of the defensive line, a guy that can penetrate and get some pressure on the quarterback. They also brought in another JUCO and Bobby Leith. So I think that despite losing two quality guys up front on the defensive line, they could be in pretty good shape, and I'm expecting a pretty good year out of Devon Tucker. Luke Knott back at linebacker is solid, and the secondary returns both cornerbacks and a free safety. When you look at the schedule, there's going to have to be some upsets. I think Iowa State could very well be an underdog in as many as 10 games this year, but that doesn't mean they're going to lose all 10. Just look at the history of Paul Rhodes. So this is another one of those years, I think, where Paul Rhodes will probably surpass my expectations, get back to what he was doing when he started out there, and I think Iowa State flirts with the possibility of getting to a bowl, provided they can pull out some of those close games.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear a national guy like you say that. I think we get sucked into our bubble here with Iowa and Iowa State, and we, you know, our listeners are just such passionate fans of those schools. We get a little bit, you know, impatient sometimes. But you still, in your Big 12 coach rankings, you had Rhodes as high as, I think it was sixth where you had Rhodes. Why so high still after the last couple of years? What about him impresses you?
I think he does a good job, you know, overall with the team. But the big thing that impresses me is just the results on the field based on my computer. Mm-hmm. You know, we're the most accurate magazine over the last 17 years. I got 9 sets of power ratings. I play them into the schedule. I do all my research. I spend about 15 hours on each team. And when a coach continually overachieves my expectations, like a Bill Snyder at Kansas State, a Mike Riley at Oregon State, a couple of coaches that, you know, for years, wherever I picked them, they would finish at least one or two spots higher, then that sort of gets on my radar. And I always put a little star next to their name. So he's got a little bit of credibility built up, even after the last couple of years.
Well, let's move on. You mentioned those power ratings. Let's go to the Iowa Hawkeyes. I found your research on Iowa especially interesting. I think it was 6 of your 9 power ratings have the Hawkeyes outdoing their 7-win total from a year ago. But you also write, there's a quote from your magazine, there's nothing about this team that would have you thinking Big Ten West contender. Is this a product of the schedule, or is it more Kirk Ferentz seeming to do, he seems to thrive with low expectations over the course of his career?
Yeah, that definitely went into my thought process, because when you follow what he's done, I think when expectations are the highest at Iowa, it hasn't been panned out the way it wanted. Like last year, a lot of folks were expecting, due to the schedule, that Iowa was going to be a contender in the Big Ten West, and it didn't pan out that way, finishing up 4-4 in conference play. But it seems like when expectations are low, they do well. You know, the main thing I'm going to look at when I look at Iowa this year is the special teams unit. And I bring that up because throughout Coach Ferentz's career, he's always said that the special teams is a great equalizer, and it proved that way, especially early on. He's always had top-notch special teams units. In fact, in 2012, when they finished number 59 in the country, which is middle of the road, that was their worst finish yet. Well, last year, that special teams actually cost them some games. They were number 109 in my special teams rankings. And while the personnel hasn't changed much, when you have a coach that's that geared up on special teams, I have to expect the results will be better. And special teams is one of those things you don't look at, you know, that often. But it has a major impact, as we saw last year with Iowa slipping to the 7-6 record. Now, they don't have a lot of stars on this Iowa team. So when you look on the all-conference teams, you're not going to see it filled with Iowa players. But here's what I like about him. I mean, you look at a defensive end like Drew Ott, I think he's a guy that can definitely get pressure on the quarterback. 8 sacks last year, and it's going to be an underrated front. He and Meyer at the defensive ends could bring some pressure there. The overall defense that last year gave up 344 yards per game with 7 starters back, I think they'll be better. And in today's era, 344 yards per game is not bad. Offensively, they're not going to have the low amount of turnovers of last year. I think there will be a few more turnovers this year because C.J. Beathard takes a few more chances. But I also expect more big plays. I think Beathard's going to get that ball down the field deeper, maybe take a chance or two. You'll see him run the football a little bit more, be a little bit more of a wide-open offense. Yeah, a couple more turnovers rather than the 7 interceptions from last year. But the potential's there for a much more explosive offense. Ferentz always does a solid job with the offensive line. And then factor in that schedule. I see Iowa as being a favorite against Illinois State, Iowa State, Pittsburgh at home, North Texas at home. Probably a nice 4-0 start is the possibility there, with the Iowa State game being the big toss-up one. Later in the season, I can see them favored in as many as 8 games this year, maybe even 9, depending how that Indiana one shakes out. So the schedule and the talent, when you put them together, I see them topping last year's 7-win total.
Phil Steele here on Sports Fanatics 1460 KXNO. You just made a lot of Hawkeye fans happy with that, Phil. And the C.J. Beathard thing is this is going to be fascinating how this plays out to me. He's a fun kid. I really like watching him just, you know, interact with the media. He's got the long hair. But he's kind of the anti-Kirk Ferentz quarterback. So the big question around here is how much will Kirk Ferentz and Greg Davis let this kid, spread his wings and attempt to fly? Do you think that we're going to see a little bit of a different Iowa offense this year?
A little bit different. I'm not going to say that he throws caution to the wind. It's not going to be like TCU last year where Gary Patterson went from his button-down offense to all of a sudden open it up to the full-blown spread offense, and that worked out tremendous for him. But I think we're going to see more downfield passing, more quarterback runs, more chances being taken, and not like they're going to not going to turn into Washington State or anything like that. Mm-hmm. When Washington State basically throws the football on every down. But I do expect a more upbeat offense. Like I said, the downside of that is there's going to be another turnover or two in the offense, a few more interceptions this year. But overall, I think it'll be more explosive.
My favorite section of your magazine every year is your surprise teams. I wanted to go through a couple of these from Big 12 and Big 10 schools. Oklahoma at number 6. They were outside of the top 25 at the end of last year. And the perception amongst a lot of fans is that Bob Stoops might be running out of gas down there in Norman, but you adamantly disagree. Well, why do you have the Sooners so high?
Well, he's finally got them to where expectations are low, and believe it or not, Oklahoma every year is a top 10 team, and most years they're a top 5 team in the AP preseason poll. This is only the third year this year. They will not be top 10 this year. They're barely going to make the top 25 at the start of the year. It's only the third year since 2000 that Oklahoma has not been ranked in the preseason top 10. What has Bob Stoops done in those years? How about 2000, national championship, and then the other year they finished number 6. So number 1 and number 6 in the ratings when they haven't been ranked in the top 10, that's right where they want them. You look at this team offensively, and when I talked to Gil Brandt last summer, he said in his mind one of the best offensive coordinators in the country was Lincoln Riley of East Carolina. Lincoln Riley is now at Oklahoma. He's got the quarterback to fit that Texas Tech-style offense, and Baker Mayfield, who was ironically a transfer from Texas Tech, and they fought hard to get him eligible last year. They've got a running back in Samaje Perine, mm-hmm. who is 243 pounds. This guy's a sledgehammer. Just this morning I was watching the replay of the Oklahoma-Texas Tech game, and every time he ran into a pile, there was a Texas Tech player guy being helped off the field afterwards. He is a powerful running back. And then last year, you look at the stats and you see that Sterling Shepard started 12 games for Oklahoma, but the second half of the season, he basically started the first series, came out with injury, didn't have a reception. They really missed him in the lineup in the second half of the year. He's back this year. So with Perine, with Shepard, and with the better passing game, I think that offense will be strong. And defensively, there's a lot of talent. You look at players like Devontae Bond at outside linebacker, Eric Stryker, Charles Tapper, Zach Sanchez. The unit has good talent. Should be one of the better defenses in the Big 12. This is a team that could very well open up the season 9-0, and then they'd be playing with a lot more confidence when you get to those final three games. And they're all big ones, at Baylor, home to TCU, at Oklahoma State. But I think you'll see an Oklahoma team actually be a contender in the Big 12 this year. And frankly, for once, Bob Stoops got to be happy that they're not going to be ranked in the top 5 so he doesn't disappoint his backers.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike Riley, he seems to be a guy who, a little bit like Rhodes, where the expectations are so low out at Oregon State, he overachieved quite a bit during his tenure out there. Those days are long gone, though, with expectations in Lincoln, Nebraska. You have them as your number 11 surprise team. Why the Cornhuskers?
Well, first of all, you go back to Riley, and I talked about him a little earlier when I brought up Paul Rhodes. Riley was one of those coaches that every year I'd pick him fifth. They'd finish fourth or third or second or even be right up there. They had some great years under Mike Riley. The last couple weren't that way for him, but he's one of those coaches that has a lot of check marks next to his name in my book. Now, take a look at the Nebraska situation. They've got 6 starters back on defense. So look at that defensive line. Malik Collins and Vincent Valentine are a pair of 300-plus guys in the middle that can be very disruptive. I think they're going to have a dominating defensive line. The secondary looks solid. You look at a free safety like Nathan Gary, they look to be in pretty good shape there. Now, offensively, the big question mark I have is what's Riley going to do with the offense. But he's too good of a head coach to just come in there and throw the football around with personnel geared more towards the option like Tommy Armstrong. I think they will show a better passing game. And watch a guy on offense, DeMornay Pearsonell. He is built for the fly sweep, and the fly sweep is a staple of the Mike Riley offense at Oregon State. DeMornay Pearsonell is going to be one of the more exciting players in college ball. Then look at the schedule for Nebraska this year. Their road games in Big Ten play, they play Purdue, Rutgers, and Illinois on the road. All three of those are winnable. They play Minnesota on the road, which is one of those toss-up games. They get the rest of them at home. That could make them a surprise player. If they quickly buy in and adjust to the Riley schemes, then all of a sudden when they host Wisconsin, host Michigan State later in the year, they've got a shot in those games, and that's why I have them at there at the number 11 surprise team.
Interesting stuff. Phil Steele, the Phil Steele football preview, college football preview is on newsstands now. Last question for you, Mr. Steele. You've got Ohio State obviously winning the Big Ten. I don't think there's much question about that. However, there's quite a debate about the Big 12 with TCU and Baylor. You've got Ohio State and TCU as in your top 40, number one and two. But what about that race to win the Big 12? I know you like Oklahoma in the mix as well. How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I'm going to call it a four-team race this year in the Big 12. And first of all, TCU is the team that's got to be the favorite coming in. They've got Boykin back on offense, 10 returning starters. Should have one of the most explosive offenses in the country. You look at them defensively. Is Gary Patterson still the head coach? Yes, they're going to have a good defense. Remember, they were number one in the country in defense for three straight years. And when you look at the schedule this year, they host Baylor, which is huge. They do have to play both Oklahoma State and Oklahoma on the road. But hosting Baylor that final game of the season is the reason I think they'll be number two in the AP preseason poll, and they're number two in mine. But there are three main contenders. Baylor is a team that has to be reckoned with. They're the most experienced bunch in the Big 12. They've got 18 returning starters coming back. And while they lose their quarterback, Bryce Petty, it's a plug-and-play system there. And Seth Russell is a guy who's now in his fourth year in the system, has done well when called upon. He's got the arm to make all the throws, and even brings a little bit more mobility than Petty did last year. So I think he's going to do quite well, especially throwing to that receiving core, which I rate number two in the country, playing behind that my number six rated offensive line. And defense has been a question mark for Baylor, but that's an underrated defensive line there. Sean Oakman, Bo Blackshear, Andre Billings are all NFL caliber defensive linemen. I think they're going to surprise some folks there. I went in length about Oklahoma, but the other team I'm going to throw into the mix is Oklahoma State. Now, Oklahoma State last year was number 128 in my experience ratings, bottom of the NCAA. They actually lost more Lettermen than they had coming back, a rarity. Well, this year they're a much more experienced team. They got 46 Lettermen back. They only lose 19. And if you watch Mason Rudolph play at the end of the year, they were trying to redshirt him. They finally put him on the field, and all of a sudden they upset Oklahoma. Then they upset Washington in the bowl game. Well, Mason Rudolph's around the entire year. It's a much more veteran team across the board. Left tackle Victor Sulaco, who comes over from UAB, is going to be one of the Big 12's better tackles, offensive tackles. Then Agba at the defensive end spot was a sack machine last year with 11 sacks. He's going to key a good Oklahoma State defense. And then here's what makes him a sleeper. There's four main teams, I think, in the Big 12, the four we just talked about. They get the other three at home, TCU, Baylor, and Oklahoma. This is a dark horse team that could potentially win the Big 12 if they take care of business at home.
Great stuff right there. Phil Steele, thank you very much. Also, congratulations. Your website's gotten better and better every year. I find myself going there every day to philsteele.com. And you've got your NFL previews coming out here shortly too, right?
Yeah, the NFL preview is going to be sent to the printer on Thursday. We'll actually have that up on apps like iTunes and Google Play. That should be up, I would say, within 3 or 4 days after it. We'll get it back to the offices in 2 weeks, and it'll be ready to ship out. And if you do want to follow along with what's going on at Phil Steele, Twitter's always a great place to go, too. And you can follow me on Twitter, at PhilSteele042. That's at PhilSteele042.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate your time.
Hey, Chris, a lot of fun talking football with you tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it again soon. Thank you very much.
Great.
Phil Steele here on the Grip Tight Foundation Repair Hotline. Man, that guy, there's no stone unturned when you talk college football with Phil Steele. I could have done that for 3 hours today. All right, when we come back, we will have more Sports Fanatics. Brent Bloom coming in here at 5 o'clock, going to hang out with us during the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to have a little golf talk. Kyle Porter from CBSSports.com is going to be in the 5 o'clock hour to discuss the John Deere Classic and Rory McIlroy blowing out his ankle playing soccer. More Fanatics coming up right after this on 1460 KXNO.